speech to admit people, but I'm going to mute everybody for now. And I'm going to go ahead and get started. Okay, so thank you everybody for attending. Welcome to, this is session two of talking about cultural dichotomies between China and Western countries and how we can understand these cultural dichotomies in order to improve our business results doing business in China. So this is a participation question. Okay, so I want you to think about this, and especially you, Danny, since you're in listen mode only. What culture do you most affiliate yourself with? So in my case, I'm an American. And what do you believe is the most consequential cultural dichotomy? And this is, again, relative to China, because China is the main focus. So I want you to type in the chat. So for example, you would say you're German, and then you would say the definition of fairness, and you would say because it leads to endless debates. Danny, you may say I'm Chinese, and the question would be what is freedom? I'm going to admit one more person. Okay, so we've already gotten started. Your name is currently Meetup, so I don't know who you are, but that's okay. We just got started. This is the first participation question. If you know how to change your name in the Zoom, you can change the name, and then I'll be able to call you by something other than Meetup. So welcome. So this is a participation question. I just want to know what culture you most affiliate yourself with, and relative to China, what is the most consequential cultural dichotomy? Now, if you're Chinese and China is your country and culture, then you want to reference the cultural dichotomy with a Western, you know, just what you think of as Western countries, whether it's America or Europe. All right. This is something that I want you to think about. I want you to type into the chat. And this is what we're going to talk about during the next part of this this event. All right. So before we get started, the first thing we need to do is we need to get into the right mindset. And what does that mean? That means that I don't want to come up here and just do more training. Because if I just do training and you passively listen, then it is unlikely that it's going to help you improve your outcomes doing business in China, or in case if you're Chinese, doing business with people outside of China. So what is the right mindset? Okay, so knowledge is, because we grow up and we go to school, knowledge is something that we're all accustomed to acquiring. And sometimes we believe that more knowledge will lead to better results. But my friends, from a lot of training and practice that I've gone through, the only thing that leads to results is action. Okay, so I can give you all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't take the right action, especially in China, you're actually not going to get better results. So this is the framework of this entire presentation. I can give you knowledge, but whether you take the right action, and in the case of doing business across cultures, whether you make the right adjustments to your attitude, mindset, and approach, and we'll talk about that today during the presentation, those are the things that are really going to help you. Thank you. I can see your video, Meetup. I don't know your name, so we'll get to that. Now,
Eva, hi. I didn't notice that how to put my name there.
Okay. Your name is Eva?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and remute yourself. We're going to get into interactions after the presentation. All right. So I want to, again, we're talking about mindset now because I want to get everybody in the right framework. So something universal. It doesn't matter what country you're from, what culture you're from. I think everybody has had the idea that I want to get healthier. I want to live longer for my children and my grandchildren. So if you want to get healthier, the knowledge of how to get healthier is pretty simple. Everybody knows it's a combination of diet, what you put in your body, and exercise, how much you move around. But the question becomes, if everybody has the knowledge, why are there so many overweight people? Why are there so many unhealthy people? Why are there so many people smoke? And the answer, in a very basic general term, is we don't have the right mindset because it's your psychology. And it's you don't have the motivation to change your diet to wake up at 6 a.m. and go for a jog. So the mindset and the attitude is what's going to give you the different outcome. And the outcome in this example is living healthier. The outcome of doing business in China is a more prosperous, successful business, better relationships, better, you know, whatever goals you have when you're doing in China, that is the outcome. So in order to achieve better outcomes, I'm going to teach you today how to focus on your mindset and your attitude. But the only way to do that is with triggers, okay? Because behavior doesn't change. You can't develop new patterns of behavior without triggers to help you. So one of the things that we're really going to focus on today is awareness, things that you can practice and that you need to practice before you can actually develop new patterns of behavior. So what are the triggers that I'm talking about? The first one is imagination, okay? Because we're all adults. And what happens is, as we get older and our minds are kind of set in their ways, it's harder and harder to use imagination. And when we're growing up, imagination is all we use. And the other thing is, of course, curiosity. So imagine back when you were a child and everything was new, everything was fresh, you just wanted to learn. Once we get up to a certain age and we're kind of set in our ways, suddenly we don't want to learn anymore. Suddenly we're not curious anymore. And when we, as an American who's going to do business in China, I'm not curious about why Chinese people think the way they think and behave the way they behave, then probably I'm not going to be able to understand them. Now, there's a couple important keys about this is imagination has to be positive, all right? Because a lot of times as foreigners, we go to China, we're frustrated because Chinese people can't give us the answers that we want. And we just imagine and we just think that, well, Chinese people just can't communicate well, they're dishonest or whatever. And that's just not true. So the imagination that we use as a trigger, it has to be positive. And the curiosity has to have purpose. So we're going to talk about two triggers throughout the presentation today. One is positive imagination and how do you use that to achieve a better outcome. We're talking about outcomes, just like living healthier or losing weight. And how do you use purpose-driven curiosity? Okay, so I want everybody to keep these in mind throughout the talk today and also throughout your entire journey doing business across cultures. So Danny's living in Hong Kong. He looks like he's probably Chinese ethnicity like me. So it's the same set of principles if you're Chinese doing business outside of China with Westerners or with Americans or with Germans, all right? So I see some of you have your video on. Eva has left. And I just want everybody to give me a thumbs up. Who wants to develop new patterns of success? Give me a thumbs up. Class, Eva, give me a thumbs up. Thank you. So it doesn't matter. You know, I've met people who've been living in China for over 20 years. And they still have the same frustrations and the same what I call unexpected disappointments. Because even though they live in China, they speak Chinese, and culturally they seem to understand all of these things, there are still patterns of behavior that they haven't been able to solve. And this is what we're really focused on today. So today's agenda, I'm going to do a quick introduction. I'm going to do a 30-minute keynote presentation afterwards. This is where you get to share your experiences, and we're going to talk about your experiences, and whatever time is left over, it's going to be the Q&A. If you signed up for this on Meetup, you know this event is scheduled to be 90 minutes. Last night's event went almost 2 hours, so I'm happy to go longer if you're willing to stay long. All right, so when we're doing business across cultures, context is everything, okay? So if you look at my face, I look Chinese. So I need to provide context of who I am, and this is the introduction that I'm going to give. This is me growing up in the United States. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. This is not how somebody who is Chinese who grew up in mainland China, they would not have these pictures playing Little League baseball, all right? If you look at this picture, you would have no trouble picking me out, even though I put a yellow square around who I am, because I grew up in this environment. All Americans, all white people in certain cases, Caucasians, but when I'm playing sports, there's a mix, okay? But what you can see is my experience growing up in the United States, I never had another Chinese friend. I never had a reason to speak Chinese, even though I'm fluent in Chinese. And I wanted to be like everybody else, which is the values that I have. Now, fast forward, and, you know, my wife, we met in Atlanta, country, the city which I was born, Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States. This is us getting our marriage license at the DeKalb County Courthouse. So we were married also in the United States. But my wife was originally from mainland China. Not only was she from mainland China, she was from a very small fourth-tier province in Hunan, which means that even though we don't have any language barriers, her culture, her values, everything that we're going to talk about as far as a cultural dichotomy, I feel those with her. And if I was unable to navigate those cultural differences or those cultural dichotomies, then the marriage would not be able to go forward. So this is the context. My entrepreneurial journey. So I'm starting my own training, coaching, consulting company. I advise people, train people now on how to do business in China. This journey all started in 2015 when I was living in Shanghai, but I had just finished my last assignment as a consultant, and I decided, being a consultant, going on site to the customers for 40 weeks at a stretch, it was not the lifestyle that I wanted, so I decided to start my own business. And what I did is I started hosting events. So those of you from Shanghai, I am the owner of the Cross Cultural Performance Forum, which is the first meetup group I started. I'm also the group owner of Shanghai International Meetup, which just exceeded 10,000 members. So in addition to hosting events, I also became an adjunct instructor at the local universities in Shanghai. I taught at Shanghai International Studies University and Eastern China University of Science and Technology. I also became guest speaker at many events. So a lot of times I work with international study group, study programs, where when foreign students in other countries, whether it's Europe or the United States, when they do their China tours as part of their business curriculum, I'm often invited to be a panel, to do training, or as a guest speaker, all right, teaching people about how to do business in China. I also started hosting all kinds of events. This is an event called EME Tea Time. This is a weekly event where people would just come and we would just talk live to live, face to face. I would do a little bit of training, but really just talk about the cultural differences and what this allowed me to do, because this was attended a lot of times by Chinese people. It gave me a more deeper opportunity to really understand the nuances of the cultural differences and why people think the way they think and why people behave the way they behave. So I'm very, always eternally grateful for all the people who attended my meetup events. And then you can see over the course of time, as my meetup events got larger, we started to have panel events, we started to have guest speakers, we started to host all kinds of events, wine tasting tours, chocolate tasting tours. I love to do open mic night after my events when a venue sponsored me. Klaus, if you met me at one of these events, after the event, I would get on stage and sing because I wanted to support the venue, which means that I didn't want my attendees to leave after the event was over. I wanted to go back into the main stage and buy more beers and enjoy a good time, which was a mutual benefit for the restaurant or the bar that was sponsoring my event. And I always said that, I don't know if this is true, but I said I was the most diverse events platform in Shanghai because I had so many different types of events. We were hosting at least 5 events every month during a period of time when I was living and working in Shanghai. Now, from a business standpoint, because this, we're really talking about how do we improve our business in China, this is a partial list of companies that I've either been a consultant for, I've been a trainer for, or, and also you can also see there's a lot of institutions like Hong Kong University where I taught cross-cultural management to Chinese executives. So this is just a partial list of the companies or institutions where I actually did some type of cross-cultural training. All right, so that's my background. And I'm curious now, who grew up, is there anybody here by raise of hand? And Danny, you can type it into the chat if you raise your hand. Did anybody grow up as an ethnic minority in the country in which they were raised? So I was an ethnic minority. I'm what's called an ABC, an American-born Chinese. I'm Chinese by ethnicity, but I was born in America. So I was an ethnic minority in the country in which I was born. Anybody have that similar experience? Okay. So I'm assuming the answer is no, which means you grew up in the country of your ethnicity too. All right. So the goal today, we're talking about how do we achieve a different outcome? So if you're losing weight, being healthier, that's an outcome. In the case of doing business in China, how do you achieve a different outcome? You may even be happy with the outcomes or satisfied with the outcomes you're currently getting, but how do we improve that? So our goal today isn't to learn how to be more persuasive. Our goal today is to learn how to influence other people's behaviors with our own. Okay? And my give today is to share knowledge, context, and insights. But as we talked about at the beginning, if you don't take action, if you don't make some adjustments to how you think, then you're really not going to be able to dramatically change your outcomes. So today I'm also going to give you triggers. The positive imagination and the purpose-driven curiosity. I'm going to teach you how to apply these in your understanding of the cultural dichotomies, which we're going to go over today. My ask is for you to trust me, at least during this period of time, and try to be like Doctor Strange from the Marvel movie. Now, if anybody here has seen Doctor Strange, the movie that was released, I think, in 2015, Dr. Strange went on this journey to cure his hands. He's a brilliant neurosurgeon. And in order to learn, he traveled to Nepal to meet the ancient one who could teach him the mystic arts. So he needed to become a master of the mystic arts in order to be able to learn this new thing. But he was so deeply and psychologically conditioned to think a certain way, he struggled. And one of the other masters, Mordo, if you saw the movie, before Dr. Strange was allowed first into the sanctum to meet the ancient one, Mordo said, might I give you some advice? Forget everything you think you know. Okay. This is the advice if I'm meeting somebody who's going to China for the very first time, they're going to be assigned in China, they're going to go live and work in China, they're going to do business in China. This is the advice I always start with. Forget everything you think you know. Because what you think you know and how things should work, that attitude and that mindset is what leads to the negative stacking. And we'll talk about that in the presentation. Okay, so everybody has an 80-20 rule. There's an 80-20 rule for almost everything. I've come up with my own 80-20 China rule. And what does this mean? Okay, this means there is so much going on geopolitically, with the pandemic and who's to blame, where it started, and the trade war and 5G technology, there's with the South China Sea, with Hong Kong and democracy and the rights. There's just so much going on that we get distracted on what will actually move the needle and help us achieve a different outcome because we're doing business in China. So the macro geopolitical stuff that's happening around us, I say that influences only about 20% of our success. But it's important to note that regardless of what percentage you think that is, it's all uncontrollable, which means it really makes no sense to focus any attention on this stuff because it's not going to change the outcome. All right. If your goal is to be healthier, you just focus on diet and exercise. Everything else that's happening around isn't going to change your ability to be healthier or to lose weight. Now, your relationships, which is the cornerstone of doing business in China, it affects 80% of your success, especially doing business in China. And this is the mindset that you have to get into. And the good news is your relationships are 100% controllable. Okay, these are things you can control. But if you don't like the word controllable, let's just say it's 100% influenceable. And our job, or my job today, is to teach you how to influence somebody in China, if you're a Westerner doing business there, in a positive way through understanding cultural dichotomies. And the foundation for this, of influencing other people's behavior, the foundation is, if you ask me how, is to develop empathy. is to have empathy. Know what other people think and how they feel. If you never consider what Chinese people think and how they feel, then naturally you're not going to be able to make a breakthrough with them. And it's important to note that empathy is a skill that actually needs to be developed. You can't just turn empathy on and turn it off. It's not say, okay, now I'm getting ready for negotiations, I'm going to turn on my empathy. Empathy is a skill that you have to develop. It's something that you have to naturally think about. Well, how does this person think and how does this person feel? And the triggers that we're going to talk about today are going to help you develop empathy. So you can see in the graphic, there's a couple, a typical generic husband and wife. I'm going to steal something from Tony Robbins, who does this Unleash the Power Within. And it's about negative stacking. He does his whole full day on relationships. And why do relationships, basically marriages, why do they end in divorce? Why are they dysfunctional? And it's negative stacking. It means when you've been in the beginning of a relationship, everything's exciting, everything's new, you're willing to do everything to attract your significant other. But over time, things start to build. And this is called negative stacking. You become resentful. There's resistance. There's resentment. There's rejection. There's repression. And why does negative stacking occur? Because the reason I'm using this example is because negative stacking occurs in your cross-cultural relationships too. And that's why people who do business in China, everything starts off really great. But then over time, the longer you've been there, then all the problems start to occur. It's because of negative stacking with your relationship. So think about your wife. Make her, if you can make her feel seen, make her feel understood, and make her feel safe, then she will have a higher tendency to actually listen or communicate in something other than anger when you're in an argument. The reason that the anger comes up is because of the negative stacking, because she's always feeling that she's unseen, she's not understood, and she doesn't feel safe. In fact, she may even say that in different ways, but because of your mindset, you don't listen, and that's why the argument continues. Now, for men, and that's why there's tons of relationship books that are written, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. This is like a cultural difference. It's like a cultural dichotomy. And because everybody has a relationship, I'm using this as an example to put you in the right frame of mind. The cultural dichotomy between men and women, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, is what we need to understand when we're doing business across cultures, especially from a Western culture like the United States or America, going to China. Now, for men, for husbands, and this is talking to the women or the feminine side, if you make the husband or the man feel like he's being criticized, he's being controlled, and being ignored, then the negative stacking is going to occur. Most women will say, well, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not trying to control you. I'm just trying to give you feedback. And, of course, they're not being empathetic to what the man needs. Man can't stand to be criticized or controlled, and especially can't stand to be ignored. Okay? So this is negative stacking, and it applies equally to cross-cultural interactions, especially between Westerners and Chinese, because it's like Chinese are from Mars and Americans are from Venus. It's almost the exact same analogy. So the question is, well, how do you develop empathy for your Chinese partner? Of course, Chinese partner refers to your employees, your suppliers, even in some cases, Chinese people may be people you report to, okay? And you first have to understand their values and their priorities. That's pretty simple, okay? You have to also understand their pace and their perceptions. That gets a little bit harder because everybody works in a different rhythm. And one of the things that Westerners struggle with is because we want to move things in a sequential order. We think there's this process, you know, sometimes we need an answer right away. Well, Chinese people, their minds and their rhythms and their pace, it doesn't work like that. Okay, they have a more kind of circular way of thinking. We're not going to get into that today, but their pace and their perceptions is also needed to develop empathy. Now, the final thing is understanding their expectations. And I can tell you, most foreigners are doing business in China. Their understanding of what Chinese expect is actually wrong, because they base their understanding based on what Chinese people say. So, for example, they think Chinese people are greedy. They think Chinese people just want more money. They think Chinese people just want a better title. Whatever it is, the key to developing empathy is understanding their beliefs. And once you understand their beliefs, then it's easy to make the right adjustments to how you interact with them. I call it the attitude, mindset, and approach. So because some of you may have a lot of experience in China, but you're listening to me talk for the very first time in this way, what I'm proposing is, by understanding cultural dichotomies, this is what we're going to get into in the next part of the presentation, you're going to be able to take the right action to achieve the results or the outcomes that you want. And what does that mean? That means you'll be able to proactively make adjustments to your attitude, mindset, and approach. But you can't do that without triggers. Now, attitude, mindset, and approach, I just call these AMA values. These are the things that I focus on. We're going to show you through examples how to use your positive imagination and how to use your purpose-driven curiosity as triggers for your training. Okay, it's not telling you what to do and knowing exactly what to do in a certain situation. It's training yourself to develop new patterns of interaction with people in China, new patterns of behavior. That is the goal that we want today. All right, so I'm sure I want to, by a show of hands, just to keep everybody's attention, who here has ever experienced now an unexpected disappointment? I know everybody's been disappointed, but unexpected disappointment, give me a thumbs up or raise your hand. That means you thought the negotiations went well, but they ended up not wanting to partner with you. You thought the job interview went well, but you ended up not getting a job offer. That's an unexpected disappointment. And when that happens, that means you lack empathy and lack awareness, because you thought one thing was going to happen, but something else happened. And a lot of times that leads to a disappointment, which results in anger, frustration, a lot of negative stacking. That's why I talk about the negative stacking first, because you got to remember, every time you do business in China and they do something that frustrates you and you didn't expect people would behave that way, that's a negative stack on your own psychology, which means to change also. That means you don't have a healthy mindset, and that has to change. All right, so there's a ton of cultural dichotomies. Today we're going to go over two of them. We're going to talk about truth, and we're going to talk about this other one that I recently started thinking about, default towards strangers, and you'll very soon know what that means, okay? So the first one is truth. Westerners tend to think in absolute truth. That means, what are the facts and what are the literal meaning of things? Okay. Dutch people are notorious for doing this in China. and they speak in a very direct manner. Now, the reason I mentioned Dutch people is because I did a 40-week consulting assignment at a Chinese state-owned enterprise in partnership with a Dutch company. So when they came over, we could experience firsthand all of these cultural dichotomies in play and at work. Okay, so Westerners think in absolute truths, and they speak in a very direct manner. Chinese tend to think in relative truth. That means there are no absolute truths. And they communicate in a very figurative, kind of face-saving way culturally, and it's very indirect. Okay, so this is where we have to use our kind of imagination. Right now, if you're trying to negotiate with somebody, a business partner, and you're being very direct and you're interpreting things very literally, and you say, okay, I need to know the answer, yes or no. Well, how is the business partner going to feel seen, understood, and safe when you are pushing them to give you answers to things that they can't really give you a direct answer for, because they don't think that way? They don't speak directly, and they don't think in terms of absolutes. You're pushing them for a yes or no answer. Imagine how they feel. Are they feeling seen, understood, and safe? I'm not going to give you an answer. I just want to say, use your imagination. Now, for your employees, if you treat them in a similar fashion, you want to know the answer. Why did this happen? Why did this go wrong? Well, maybe you even say, most Americans say, well, you know, we're not going to assign blame, but we want to solve the problem so it doesn't happen again next time. But Chinese people don't feel that when you're saying that. because there's an implication that they may know the answer and they may be the cause of the problem. So how do you make Chinese people feel that they're not being criticized, not being controlled, and not being ignored? The only way to understand that is to use positive imagination. And we'll get into examples of that as we move forward. This is just really just changing how you think about this whole scenario of how you communicate and interact. All right. So for those of you who've never done business in China, okay, so if somebody's going to China for the very first time, I would, and they say, well, tell me what, give me a tip. Okay, so the tactic would be, don't expect that Chinese people say what they mean or mean what they say. Because if you interpret them literally, you're going to be disappointed. But then there's a caveat. You have to do that with a positive attitude, which means you don't want to judge them as being untruthful. You don't want to judge them as being deceptive because they don't say what they mean and mean what they say. You just have to somehow condition your mind to say that this is how they naturally speak, and you want to engage with them with a positive attitude despite the fact that they don't say what they mean or mean what they say. That's a tactic, okay? And then you can adjust your approach accordingly. So it's all about mindset, attitude, mindset, and approach. We talk about AMA values, attitude, mindset, and approach. This is why it's important to have these triggers, because you won't be able to adjust your attitude towards certain things without these triggers. All right. So let's go to another one. This one goes a little bit deeper. Default to strangers. So this is actually inspired by a researcher. His name is Timothy Levine. He came up, after 30 years of research, he came up with something called truth default theory. Okay. So this is based on researching for over 30 years, human-to-human deception. Okay, so the basic theory is, when we communicate with people, we tend not only to believe them, but the thought that maybe we shouldn't doesn't even come to mind. Okay, so this is the truth default theory. And, of course, this is very Western. This is based on how Americans think, or more Westerners think. And so in Western societies, why this truth default theory is actually good is because between like me and Liam, if we assume that we're being dishonest, we would never be able to communicate. All right. So truth default is needed for communications to function because most people are mostly honest most of the time. Okay. So that's truth default. Now, the negative side obviously is, it makes us more vulnerable to deception, okay? But in the research, there are triggers that can break us out of our default to honest mindset to enable lie detection, okay? So, but in the case of what we're doing here, our goal is not to enable lie detection. Our goal is just to use these triggers to develop empathy, okay? Why do we want, this is again from the book, we want to use these triggers to develop empathy because it's only through empathy can we actually make a breakthrough and achieve a different outcome. Just like losing weight or being healthier. We know we have the knowledge, but we don't have the right behaviors. We don't have the right patterns of behavior. We don't take the right action. Now, I haven't actually read that other book, but this is a book that I did read. It's called Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell. And it talks a lot and gives tons of examples of this truth default theory and why it doesn't work in certain cross-cultural situations. Because most of the, a lot of the examples are within the same culture, but a lot of them are with people in other cultures. It's just a whole bunch of examples. I think it's a worthwhile read. But the most interesting thing is truth default theory rejects the idea that the best way to detect deception is to pay attention to verbal and nonverbal cues. Now, ironically, most people who teach how to do business across cultures, they say, well, since there are language and culture barriers, you need to pay attention to the verbal and nonverbal cues. And what research has shown us is that actually doesn't lead to a better result. Let me give you an example. So in America, when somebody has committed a crime and they're in front of the judge, the judge has to decide whether to allow probation or, oh, I'm sorry, the probation, or the judge has to decide whether to let the person out on bail. Okay, so they set the bail amount, and if it's somebody who's committed a, you know, a some kind of crime where people was hurt, the judge has to decide, is this can I let this person free until they come to trial? Okay, and there's one time there was this kind of Muslim woman who was wearing a complete face covering, and she was at the hearing, and the judge says, you need to remove your face covering, because if I can't see your face, I can't decide whether to let you out on bail. And the woman says, no, I'm sorry, I can't take off my face covering in public. So the judge says, well, I'm sorry, I can't grant you bail. I can't grant you to get out on bail. What research has shown is what they did is they take all of the people who were let out on bail and all of the people who the judge let out on bail and how many of them actually committed a crime or tried to escape during their before their sentencing period or before their trial. And they compared it with a computer who made those same decisions. And what it determined was the computer did a much better job of deciding who should get let out on bail and who should not. The judge, who has tons of experience, is reading people's facial expressions to decide whether this person is safe or unsafe, did a worse job than the computer. So what does that mean? That means when we're dealing with people we don't understand, dealing with people from a different culture, we're using our own set of values and behavior experiences to judge other people, we will make more mistakes than if we did have no verbal cues and no information. All right? And this is why instead of teaching my students and the clients that I work with to use these nonverbal cues, I try to help them develop triggers, again, which is one, positive imagination, two, purpose-driven curiosity, because these tools are 100% within our control. We can imagine whatever we want. We can choose to assume the worst, or we can assume to assume the best. We can decide to be curious what people think about, why they behave the way they behave, and give them the benefit of the doubt, or we can decide just to judge them based on their behavior. That's our decision, okay? So I'm going to try to condition you to do the, use this in a positive way so we can avoid no more blaming, no more judging, and no more making excuses, because these are the things that never lead to a more favorable outcome when you're doing business across cultures. Now, what is the dichotomy in this default to truth kind of thing that we just discussed? So Westerners tend to default to truth with strangers, but they have a general mistrust or bias, sometimes it's a subconscious bias, with foreigners, especially foreigners who have a different value system. So for instance, I'm an American. I would probably default to truth with somebody from Germany or somebody from UK or somebody from Canada, but I may be more skeptical of people from North Korea. All right? So this is our truth default. With strangers that are more like us, default to truth. For foreigners who don't share the same system of values, mistrust, cultural bias. And a lot of things that are going on with China, based on what's reported in the media, and maybe our past experiences haven't been good, that will amplify this mistrust. And with there's been surveys done here in America since this whole global pandemic, COVID-19 started, Americans have become more xenophobic. Americans have generally greater distrust towards Chinese people. In fact, Chinese people are being harassed here in America now because of what's happening in the media. That's the truth default. Chinese, why is this a dichotomy? Chinese tend to default to skepticism with everyone. Okay. Chinese people don't trust Chinese people they don't know. Which is why developing Guanxi relationships is the only thing that will change the level of trust. Okay. It's the only thing that will change the level of trust. Now, let's use our triggers, positive imagination, all right, and let's apply this cultural dichotomy to thinking about something. Okay. So for example, for business partners, either during negotiations or even after the negotiations, the Chinese business partner is doing certain things simultaneously. Okay. So the business partner is always trying to demonstrate goodwill. And the reason is because that's how they improve the Guanxi relationship. So even after the negotiations ends, Chinese people still demonstrate goodwill. Okay. They expect reciprocity, but they'll discriminate goodwill. Now, in the back of their minds, they are deeply skeptical that you understand what they're trying to say and you can behave in a way that makes them believe that you can be a trusted partner. And when I say trusted partner, unfortunately, this is where it gets into a gray area. They expect favors, where in Western culture, favors are frowned upon. In Chinese culture, favors are expected, okay? So it's natural that Chinese people are deeply skeptical that the Westerner will provide favorable treatment. And you compound this, where on the surface they're demonstrating goodwill, inside their mind they're deeply skeptical, and they communicate in an indirect way. This is what raises the challenge of negotiating or working with Chinese partners. If you don't understand how Chinese people think, you're not empathetic to how they feel, then you're only going to compound the negative stacks and lead you to a negative result. And I have many personal examples of that happening. All right. Now for employees, if you manage employees in China, same thing. When you confront them with an issue, you're going to get either, if you ask them a question, you want them to do something, they're either going to say yes. If you bring up an issue, they're either going to make an excuse or they're going to be silent. And this frustrates the hell out of Westerners who are doing business in China when they can't seem to get a direct answer to a direct question. Okay? And your normal interactions with people from China, colleagues, employees, whatever, they're going to give you a lot of lip service and a lot of flattery. Okay? But behind the scenes, they're going to gossip. And they're going to provide a lot of negative rumors. And this happens all the time. But they don't gossip and provide negative rumors because you're a foreigner. They do the same thing if their boss is Chinese. In fact, I have many, many examples of employees, subordinates reporting to somebody who's Chinese who do exactly the same thing that I'm saying here. Okay? So the advantage that you can create for yourself as a foreign business person doing business in China is to understand this dynamic. Adjust your attitude, adjust your mindset, and develop a new approach to achieve a different outcome. And Chinese people have a lot of experience working with foreigners now. So the reality is Chinese default to truth more with foreigners than they do with Chinese people. If you hear Chinese people talk about foreigners, they just say, oh man, this American, this German, they're just so naive. And they translate naivety to not being smart enough to deceive. That's what's happening in the Chinese mindset. They believe foreigners are actually not smart enough to deceive. All right? That's how they think. So they trust more. But there's a lot of other cultural differences that will raise issues, and that's why it takes practice. It takes knowledge, then it takes practice, it takes the adjustments to your attitude, mindset, or approach, and only through that process can you develop new patterns of behavior. All right, so one of the things that is very important for doing business across cultures is self-awareness. Okay, are you aware of how you think? Are you aware of how other people perceive you based on what you think? All right, so what do you think your own truth default category is? Default the truth with strangers, default the truth with everyone, default to skepticism just with foreigners, or default to skepticism with everyone. So, Liam, what do you think your default is?
My default is skepticism. When I was younger, I was very, very open to everything and everyone. But as time goes on and you go through different experiences in life, I found it better to be skeptical of people's motivations and how they are receiving you.
So you would be a four.
I would be a four, absolutely, 100%, yeah.
Okay, so the awareness that you have to have, this is self-awareness. If you're a four, when you're doing business with somebody new, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to reach a commonality because you're skeptical, and they can feel that, they can sense that. Okay, just have to be aware of that. I'm actually not telling you to change it. I'm just telling you to be aware of it. Okay, how about you, Klaus? Which one would you be? Do you think?
Good question. I would say I go by number one. Very different, William. Okay. Meaning default to strangers, meaning not foreigners, as you explained. So people like having a similar value system.
Yep.
I think I go by number one, but when being in China, no. Well, to Chinese, I'm not default number one. No.
Okay. Well, so that's good. So having that self-awareness, that means that you might be naturally skeptical when you're encountering a Chinese person. And you just have to be aware that they may sense that skepticism based on your attitude.
I wouldn't say skepticism. I don't like this word myself, but it's about awareness, mindfulness, about observation. And you're seeing, looking at the little cues. You mentioned something of cues, but I'm open because skepticism for me means not being very open, but just paying attention maybe more.
Okay, then maybe a different word. It just means the opposite of default to truth. That means default to not trusting the person.
No, I got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, so in my case, my self-awareness is I'm actually two. I default the truth with everybody. Okay. Now before, when I was defaulting the truth in China, I encountered a lot of the negative aspects of trusting somebody I couldn't quote unquote trust. But it wasn't because I trusted the wrong person. You'll find it in a lot of the case studies because I didn't make the adjustments that I needed to make. Okay. I'm so conditioned now on how to interact and communicate with people from China that I can now default to trust, because when they don't say what they mean and they don't mean what they say, I actually still understand what they mean. And I don't need to challenge the literal meaning of what words come out of their mouth. All right. So we're going to get into some of that, but this is just something that's really important. So I see some people coming in late. Thank you for joining. We're kind of at the end of the presentation, but everything's being recorded. And if you register, I'm going to share the recordings and we're going to get into the discussion pretty soon. Oh, Alberto is coming in. All right, so yeah, so I think maybe the time difference got down. So Alberto, we're kind of at the end of the presentation. I see you driving, so please don't be distracted. The final thing that I wanted to talk about today was when we're in our own country, especially here in America. So for example, if something's going on in America right now, it's called Black Lives Matter, and there's just a lot of things that are politically correct or politically incorrect to say in America. Okay. So, as an American, even with foreigners, we expect them to understand our political correctness. There's certain things that you shouldn't say and you shouldn't believe. It's about political correctness. There's no right or wrong. It's just in our society, certain things are politically incorrect. One of the things that's important to understand is when we go to China, there are also certain things that are politically incorrect to talk about or to speak about or to speak out against. Okay. This is where each individual has to make a decision. When I go to China for business, am I there to make a political statement, or am I there to try to say whatever policies the government has? This has nothing to do with the citizens or the individuals that I'm trying to do business with. Okay. We need to disconnect those and realize that it absolutely serves no benefit to discuss any of these topics doing business in China. Okay. Hong Kong, with the whole, the new law that's gone into effect. I mean, there's just, these are the, just a list of things that I come up with that you should avoid talking about. If somebody mentions it to you, just play ignorant, just play dumb. You know, that's not really something I pay a lot of attention to. I don't really know. And that will end the conversation. Once you start, even if you try to agree with somebody or tell them something that they want to hear, if that conversation can quickly spiral out of control. All right? There's just a few more things. We're wrapping up the formal part of this presentation where I just want to remind everybody again, in order for you not just to consume knowledge, in order for you to take the proper action or the right action, in order to achieve a different outcome, you need to change your patterns of behavior. And the only way to change patterns of behavior is to have triggers that can help you do a reset and then think about what you're feeling in a different way. And of course, that requires positive imagination. We use those examples, but it also requires purpose-driven curiosity. You have to be kind of naturally curious or develop a curiosity of, well, why do Chinese people behave that way? And by trying to understand them instead of judging them, that will open the door to the outcomes that we all desire, which is a mutually beneficial win-win outcome. Something that doesn't, over time, become worse and worse, become dysfunctional, and ultimately end in divorce. All right? Now, some of you have a lot of experience doing in China. I know Alberto, who's driving, I'm not going to ask him to say anything, but he has lots of experience in China. We all know.
Listen, just let me apologize for not being able to join you today. I just wanted to say hi. I popped up. I'm driving. I just finished a meeting and I'm entering another one. So I'm going to quit now. I promise I'll make it back to you guys. Okay. I promise I'll make it back.
Well, this video is being recorded, so you can always watch the replay, and I would love to hear any feedback. Because this is the first time I'm doing the training this way, and I would love to hear your feedback.
Fantastic. And I absolutely agree with what you said about keeping your position above everything and don't ever fall into this gap. It's a dead end. They are right and we are wrong, whatever we think. Even if we think that we are with them, we're wrong anyway, because that's not what the foreigner thinks. Okay, so guys, just listen to Gene. He knows what he's talking about.
All right. Thanks, Alberto. I'll see you next time.
Thank you. I'll say goodbye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. So one of the things that, you know, if you're new to doing business in China or you're new to this journey of learning how to think different, like Dr. Strange, you're going to start to experience that there's a lot of contradictions. Didn't Gene or Alberto or this other China expert say this? Why are Chinese behaving like this and experiencing this? If you only observe or you only pay attention to what's happening on the surface, China is a land of contradictions. And we're not going to give examples here, but just be aware that don't let the contradictions stop you from trying to develop new patterns of behavior, trying to use your triggers, positive triggers, more often to develop a new attitude, mindset, and approach. The other thing is I'm sure everybody here knows this, but it's always good to be a reminder that the reason that people experience these unexpected disappointments doing business in China is because they never get out of the honeymoon period. Okay, when foreigners go to China, it feels like a honeymoon. They pick you up at the airport. They want to anticipate what do you want to need, what kind of foods do you need, take you out to restaurants, take you out if you're there with family and with your wife, and they don't have anything to do while you're in a business meeting, they'll arrange somebody to take them on a shopping tour. That's the honeymoon period. And they'll say all kinds of things that you want to hear, but it's not what they feel. They're not being deceptive. It's just culturally, Chinese people are very, very hospitable hosts. And whenever you travel to China, if you don't live in China and you travel to China, you're going to feel that, especially if you're a foreigner. But if you live there long enough and you do business there long enough and you want to avoid these unexpected disappointments, you have to remember the honeymoon period ends. And if you really want to do business and you want to develop real guanxi relationships, you have to get in, you have to continue to use your triggers that we talked about and develop new patterns of behavior. All right. So one of the things that I my only ask was for you to kind of be like Dr. Strange, but I also want to share with everybody that I'm crowdfunding a book. The name of the book is called The China Leadership Dilemma. And really what a China leadership dilemma is, it's just an unexpected disappointment doing business across cultures, doing business in China. So everything that I'm talking about now is what I'm trying to put into a book. And the book is going to be like a practice guide, training manual, whatever, but it's going to be different than a lot of books that just give you a lot of statistics and not a lot of information, talk about Chinese history, talk about Chinese culture. That's not what this is. This book is, I am the protagonist. You can follow my 16-year journey doing business in China and all the things that I experienced. The antagonist is my inner voice. So you're going to hear my inner voice tell me that, no, this Chinese person is being deceitful. No, you shouldn't listen and do things this way. All right? You are right. They are wrong. You're going to hear my inner voice tell me all the things that I shouldn't be doing in China. And then you're going to get the analysis of why things turn out the way they did and how they could have been different. A lot of concepts that I talk about. Again, not going to go over it all here. Now, Sarah has come in late, so we're going to give Sarah a chance to introduce herself. But this is the end of the formal presentation. Now, what we want to do is I'm going to stop the share screen.